You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
Hey, El Paso, this is Michelle Smallman, and now it's your turn to sound off on the UTEP game. Minor Talk with Adrian and Sal is coming up next on 600 ESPN El Paso.
We are here and we are live. It is Minor Talk along with Alberto Retta and it's Sal Montes, who is back. He has returned with us, the co-host of Minor Talk, and he's with us here as what a game. I mean, what a roller coaster of an effort for this matchup right here. We are presented by Jack in the Box. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. We are on a time crunch, so if you want to call in, don't waste any time. Now's the time to do it. 915-505-6009. Colorado State defeats UTEP 27-17. Tale of two halves. Welcome back, Sal. How's it going?
AV, what's going on? Alberto, what's happening? No, man, it's good to be back, and literally good to be back because we were doing all of our games so far this year when it comes to UTEP football on KLAQ. So I was surprised we were actually having it on 600. And the reason why is because I did not pay attention. However, it feels good to be back. The board is completely different and all that. So from a production side, awesome. Football side, kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about this one, Sal, it was like a tale of two halves. They were dead in the water at the end of the first half, Sal, and I was just so disappointed. I was disappointed with so many different things for UTEP. Couldn't get anything going offensively. Felt like they just didn't have a lot of life to them. They were banking off the big play and just 92 yards of total offense in the first half. Now, in the second half, things started to flip around for the Miners. They opened up with a touchdown drive. They had a really nice play. You know, Cade came in at quarterback, and that was pretty impressive in itself. And then the defense, you know, as far as the first half, I thought they were impressive too. They did allow an opening touchdown drive by Colorado State. It was a 75-yard touchdown drive, but then a turnover on downs they force. Then they force a punt, a turnover on downs, an interception. Then they do allow Colorado State to gash the defense on a 73-yard rushing touchdown. That wasn't great. However, I would also say after, you know, in the second half, there were some high points for that defense as well. So I think the defense took a bit of a step up. Second half offensively had success with the likes of Cade McConnell. 7-play, 75-yard touchdown drive. It was a 28-yard screen pass to Kenny Odom. And then a 9-play, 92-yard touchdown drive there, Sal. After holding Colorado State, McConnell hit Kenny Odom. It was a 55-yard screen pass that he took to the house for a touchdown. And the Miners were very much in this game. They were looking to play some spoiler going into the fourth quarter, just unable to do it. I mean, Sal, if you had to pinpoint something that, you know, you look back on as far as the difference of this game, what is it going to be for you? I'll give you a couple candidates because there are some interesting ones, okay? You could look at the block punt, which ended up leading to a Colorado State touchdown to start off the third quarter. And I felt like that right there, momentum-wise, it shot UTEP early in that second half.
It's definitely one of them. There's more that we'll get to, but we'll stick on that one. I don't know what you have on your list, but I don't want to ruin it either. So it definitely did not help, and it's now coming to a point with this football team where you can see kind of week by week the improvement. I think we do got to admit that there's improvements, less mistakes, but there's still costly mistakes that this team is having, and this happened to be one of them.
7:15 left in the fourth quarter. They elect to go for it fourth and short. The Miners had just one timeout after burning two timeouts on that very same drive. I was okay with that fourth down try. Everybody on social media feels like they were just hating it so much. I mean, the Miners had it around midfield. They go for it fourth and short, unable to convert, and Colorado State takes over and essentially wins the game.
No, I like that choice to go for it. Now, whether it was the right play call or not, that doesn't really matter. But the fact of the matter is that they shot themselves in the foot with the bad snap. I think that is something that kind of derailed, the momentum in that drive. But I love the chance to go for it because Colorado State was running the ball effectively well. Who's to say that they don't get the ball and completely run the clock out? So I'm not having trouble with that at all. You play to win the game.
Our telephone number now in 550-5609. Alberto Retta, one of our other co-hosts here on the program. Alberto, your thoughts as far as where it went wrong for the Miners today?
Well, I think, the late entrance of Cade McConnell, I think that really spells the doom of the Miners here today. And I think that, you know, you look back, obviously this game, it was out of hands because it was out of hand because Cade didn't play the whole game. You know, he comes in, scores 14 points. What would have happened if, you know, you have him the whole game? What would have happened if you would have had him against Southern Utah? Maybe you wouldn't be 0-4 right now, and it's a different story to this season. So that's what's really disappointing to me. 232 yards in the second half in comparison to the 92 yards in the first half. So that really spoke volumes to me. And look, the defense looks like if it can play like this during conference play, I think it'll be one of the more elite defenses in conference. And we saw it here today. They did well on third downs. They did well making stops, keeping this game close. The offense just didn't score enough points.
Colorado State, 3 of 14 on third downs, to your point right there. Good stuff. Let's keep it going. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. Full phone lines. We're only on here for 45 minutes until Chihuahua's baseball. Austin is joining us first. Austin, good evening. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Love the show. One quick comment and a question, and I'll hang up so I can listen. I'm excited to see where this defense is headed, especially in the conference play. As you guys just mentioned, it looks like they can be pretty elite when it comes into the conference play. However, I know you guys touched on this on the podcast, I think it was last week, regarding Maurice Westmoreland. At what point should we be concerned that he's just not going to be productive, and is he going to pick it up in conference play?
Yeah, good question. I appreciate the phone call, Austin. Thanks for weighing in. Maurice Westmoreland, I would say today, you know, he did actually have a pretty good play in the game, but they need multiple plays from Westmoreland. Five tackles for him today. He did have a tackle for loss. They're going to need him to step up in the second half of the season. And the big thing is, I get it. Look, there are a lot of double teams that are coming his way.
Yeah.
There are times where Westmoreland isn't able to go for it. It's kind of like Praise Amegale,
yes,
and what he faced. You know, when everybody's sees you on the radar, when you get conference, you say all first team, everybody's going to be scouting for you. Everybody's going to be kind of keying on you. So what it allowed today is for Brighton Thompson to feast. 12 tackles for the senior defensive end, 2.5 tackles for losses. He played a great game and a sack for Brighton Thompson. I was so impressed by his efforts here today. Let's go back to the phones. Let's keep it moving. We'll go fast here on the program. 915-505-6009. Next up is Carlos. Carlos, good evening. Evening. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, boys? You know, this was a little tough one, but I'm enjoying the improvement from the defense week in and week out. You know, they're covering everything up pass-wise, just a few holes here and there that they need clean up running-wise. But, you know, unfortunately, I think the cat's out of the bag, and I don't know if this team can go back with Skyler Lockbeer when you just see the contrast in play. For me personally, I felt like Cade McConnell is just more composed at times and is willing to make some throws that Skyler kind of shy away from. And that could be through inexperience or just different natures of how they play. But I think going forward, they should really stick with Cade, just with the contrast of play.
All right, I appreciate it, Carlos. Thanks for weighing in on the program. I'll bring both of you guys and your thoughts on this one right here. I'll just give you the stats, okay? Cade McConnell today, 19 of 29, 220 through the air, 2 touchdowns, 66% completion rating for Cade McConnell in this game. Skyler Locklear, 7 of 15, 56 passing yards. He started this one and had an interception, Sal. Oh, he's on the phones. Go ahead, Alberto. You jump in first.
Yeah, I think it would be extremely difficult to make that change. And yeah, credit to Cade McConnell. He made more than a couple great throws. And look, the reason I want to commend him is he stands in the pocket and he stares these defenders in the face. They're coming on to him for pressure, and he's just dishing it out for a simple screenplay. But you got to commend the way he stands there, and he'll take a shot, but he dishes it out. And also, he threaded a needle. I'm trying to find it on the replay here on YouTube, but he did an amazing play. Throws it between two defenders on the sideline. It was a beautiful throw. It was a beautiful catch, and that's the stuff you love to see. Also, he doesn't carry it as much. You know, there's a contrast in their games, but I favor the Cade's game. game, and it's not just because I know him personally.
All right, Sal, your thoughts on the quarterback situation.
Yeah, you love what Cade did coming into the game. Obviously able to provide a spark, able to get the ball in spots that, as Alberto mentioned, that Skyler wasn't really looking at. And I think it's just because both of them have different types of strengths. I think Skyler's more of a left-to-right kind of guy. Cade is north-south. Yeah. He may not have the speed and whatnot, but he's going to throw it down the middle more than Skyler would. And those are the looks that that Colorado State gave them as well. I think that's kind of the difference is when Cade is in there, he kind of takes what the defense is giving. And I think it's just due to experience. So it'll be interesting to see what coach is going to do going forward. But in my opinion, just looking at today and the pressure that they were facing, I mean, Colorado State was just on another level in the first half as well. That paired with doing the adjustments that they did in the second half. So credit to the coaching staff, too, there, able to have their offense moving more. I think that's a conversation to be had, but I say Cade going forward.
Yeah, I'm a Cade guy. You know me. I'm not shying away from it. I was getting, the second half felt like the offense was moving, and the first half it was stagnant, and it goes back to last week against Liberty. There were some stagnant points. Bottom line, which quarterback scored more points? I mean, Cade going with 14, Skyler with 3. I like the fact that UTEP was able to score points in the second half, regardless of the quarterback there. Hey, Minor Talk is presented by Jack in the Box. They've got 15 locations open 24/7 here in El Paso and Las Cruces. It's Jack in the Box that is the perfect spot before and after every game. Back to the phone lines we go. It is Rob who's joining us next on Minor Talk. 915-505-6009. Full phone lines to go. Rob, go ahead.
Hey, Adrian, just a couple quick comments. One, I mean, me and you have made it pretty clear we don't like their style of defense, but, you know, they find a way to make it work. I think to me, the most concerning thing is that this is supposed to be a offensive guru and we're having such offensive struggles and woes. And I don't see it. I don't think he's a guru. I think he's more of just an offensive minded coach. But when I think of guru, I mean, I think of you could throw anybody back there and you're going to drop 40, like Louisiana Tech. I think the coaching staff is doing a lot of growing this year, and they're learning a lot, as well as the players. And I'm looking forward to, you know, how they move forward with preparation. But you could just tell the biggest, you know, most key moments of the games, you know, the snap over the head. I believe if they didn't have this QB carousel, and they had stuck with McConnell the whole game, he would have nailed that slant. But you throw him in the second half, it's like having a basketball player sit on the bench the whole game, and you expect him to come in and hit a three.
Good point.
You know, he's kind of a little bit cold, and you expect him to hit a slant on, you know, fourth and whatever. I really don't blame the QB. I think that they need to stop the QB carousel. The offense looks way more wide open with McConnell, and maybe this is what the spark that they needed. And I hope that he stays the starter from here on out, and I think there's a couple games down the road at home that they could win, so we'll see how it goes. But thanks for taking my call.
Hey, I appreciate it, Rob. Thanks for weighing in on the program. Alberto points out Cade sacked just once. Skyler sacked twice in this game. That's a good point in itself. 915-505-6009 as we continue. Full phone lines. Let's keep it moving. We're going fast here on Minor Talk. Next up, it is Chris who's joining us on the phone lines. 915-505-6009. Chris, good evening. What's happening?
Good evening, guys. Just to piggyback pretty much all the callers that called before I did, still had everything to say that I was going to say. I just feel that Skyler was given the job before the competition even started. We know McConnell, what he did last year for us, and you can tell right away he was a spark plug for the offense. I know it's going to be a hard to be a low attendance next due to there maybe the 3,000, just maybe $5 tickets anywhere. I'm a season ticket holder for the first time this year, and to me, I already paid my 5 seats. It is what it is, but we need more people. If it's $5 like they used to do with the UTEP basketball, the CBI, where $10 first come, first serve. There's people outside the Don Haskins waiting to get into that Don Haskins. So, still confidence. I believe in the minors. I believe in the coaching staff. I just felt McConnell was given a short ticket. We knew he wasn't going to get the job, but we know. I'm glad he performed like he did today, and hopefully, coaching staff, they put McConnell as the starting quarterback from here on out, which he should have gotten since day one. And let's go.
Okay, good stuff, Chris. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. Let's keep it moving. We got a bunch of calls to burn through, and then we'll react to all the calls here in just a minute. 915-505-6009. Jacob Matthew, he is next on the program. Jacob, it's good to hear from you, man. What's going on?
What's going on? How you guys doing?
We're feeling good, Jacob. Go ahead. You give us your thoughts on this one. Miners lose 27-17 in this game.
You know what? I actually feel like we have some things to grow on. I thought we made some adjustments finally. If you would have told me coming into the game that, UTEP was going to throw for 276 yards on two scores, and then Colorado State was going to throw for 132 with one score, and then we were going to have Kenny Odom go for 128 and two scores against their leading receiver at 36 yards, I would have thought we would have looked in pretty good shape. And then the thing that I take back on that is then I look at the run game. That's probably the biggest difference here is we averaged, I looked at it, 1.9 yards a carry against their 5 over 224, over 43 attempts. But I thought we made some adjustments. I think there's some things that we have to build on. I think Walden, you could see in his body language, it looked a lot more comfortable once McConnell came in. You can kind of just see he kind of calmed down himself. You know, he kind of looked like, you know, okay, like we have something going here. Let's get it going, you know. And then also on the, I want to throw some shout out to the defense. I think Dorian, Thompson, these guys, you know, 23 tackles. They added a sack. I mean, if it wasn't for those guys, I mean, this game could have got out of hand early, and we may have not gotten to see, McConnell come in, and who knows, that might change the trajectory of our season, you know?
Yeah, it's a really good point, Jacob. I'll just say this, third quarter action. I mean, aside from the blocked blocked punt that ended up in a quick touchdown for Colorado State, Colorado State only scored 6 points in the second half altogether, guys. I mean, that's a big one in itself for this defense. So it's a good point by Jacob right here, noticing that, hey, this defense was able to hold this team. Besides that touchdown, it was a field goal that UTEP held Colorado State to. They also held Colorado State to a punt, and then a final field goal right there. I mean, Alberto, that defense, we were talking about it a lot. The defense showed up tonight.
Yeah, the defense kept them in this game, and that's really what's not disappointing. I don't want to say disappointing, but that's the hard part, you know, is a pundit. Is that at the end of the day, this game was a close one, right? The score doesn't really reflect how close this game is. You know, that fourth and five, it goes another way. You know, you're looking at a different ball game. You know, you don't jump off sides. You get that interception. You're looking at a different ball game. You start Key McConnell the whole game, you're looking at a different ball game. And you could have maybe walked away with a win, and you're not 0-4. So that's really what I hate, the fact that people are going to say, oh, you guys are defending this team. No, a couple things go the other way, and the Miners might have won this game, and we're saying, we're praising them, and we're saying, we're singing them their roses. So that's the hard part for me, is that this game was, you know, on closer than it looks just from the score, and now it's just, well, we have to continue to build from here, and that's the hard part, is this is just a building endeavor.
Sal, I got a stat for you. UTEP, total yards, 324. Remember, they only had 93 in the first half, so 324 is what they finish. Colorado State finishes with 356, so Miners hung in the entire game in terms of total yards, and defensively, they held them in check. Only in this game for Colorado State, only 132 passing yards in this one.
Yeah, and UTEP able to get 12 first downs through passing as well. They get 15 total, one by way of a penalty, and only two rushing. When coming from Austin Peay, we saw that Walden's numbers somewhere in the realm. I don't know the exact number, but it'll be off by somewhere in by five numbers. So it was like 65-35, something along the lines of that, where it was rushing 65, passing 35. And that number may be skewed a bit when it comes to 12 passing first downs and two rushing. I think they had to be passing more just because they were in a hole, but we got to see them move the ball a bit more, and you see the progression that they made on offense. So I think it's fair to say, is the worst that we've seen of UTEP something that already happened within these first four games.
That's interesting.
And I think the true measurement will be kind of all conference games. The first game being Liberty from last week, which we saw improvement on all the way up to the last one against New Mexico State. So if we see improvement there, then we can kind of give a more fair grade. But yeah, it does make you wonder about the, hey, if you would have started Cade earlier, would they have won? Who knows? I mean, Cade is only a quarterback.
Hard to tell.
Yeah, but it's definitely a step in my opinion, in the right direction.
Here's the worst stat of the offense, okay? 25 rush attempts, 48 yards, averaging 1.9 yards per rush. And Jacob pointed that out as well. UTEP had 25 rush attempts to 44 pass attempts, and it's because they're playing catch-up, you know, throughout that second half. Let's keep it moving. We got a phone line available, so if you've been trying to call in and you can't get into the program, now's the time to do so. 915-505-6009. Andrew is next up on the phone lines. Andrew, good evening. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Andrew, doing great. Go ahead. You give us your thoughts on this one, 27-17.
Yeah, so I just want to piggyback on what other callers were saying. You know, they were talking about improvements, and in the team we're seeing a lot of improvements. The defense, I think they've been good from the start. The offense is starting to catch up. I just think what we're not seeing improvements is in the coaching staff, and specifically Scotty Walden. You know, whether it's at the end of the half, wasting a minute and a half for no reason, we could have got points out of that, or whether it's putting the whole game on fourth down with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I just didn't think that was a smart play at all. And I also think that there's a lot of questions that need to be asked on why Cade McConnell wasn't playing, if that's how he was looking in practice. Because from the jump, the offense looked like it had life in it as soon as Locklear went out. And I think it's kind of weird that, you know, the guy that he brings over is given the starting job right away. And the whole time we're being told that there's two quarterbacks that can play, but we never got to see the other one. So that's kind of my issue. And I will say this, just Walden looks over his head. This is definitely a Walden hate call. I will let you know that right away. He looks in over his head. And I just want to say there's a guy out in Las Vegas right now that's running the best offense in college football and putting up 40 points a game against teams like Kansas and Houston. And we're struggling to put up 10-20 points against Southern Utah. So that's all I had to say.
Okay, mic drop. Good stuff, Andrew. I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in on the program. 915-505-6009. Very spirited phone call right there. You know, I'll touch on some of the points that he brought up as far as the coaching staff. You know, one of the things that I noticed right away, the halftime situation, about a minute and change left in the, I would say a minute, not in change, minute 40 about it in the first half. And instead of, you know, trying to be aggressive, trying to do that, Miners are backed into their own territory. So they play a conservative approach, and they let that clock run out. They know that they're going to get the ball coming out of the second half, and I think that was one of those things. Were you okay with that, Sal?
I definitely want to see more of a sense of urgency, and the reason why I say that is part of the moniker of this team is fast, fearless, and physical. Where's the fast at when it comes to these end-of-half possessions? So maybe we'll see improvement, maybe we won't. Who knows? It's a very long season, but that's definitely something that you want to see when these guys are running back to the line of scrimmage or just a little off, depending what position you are. They should be adept at moving the ball there. However, is that kind of attributed to not performing well on offense up to this point? So there's definitely a lot of things that they need to improve on in order to take that next step. You see that they're, I don't want to say on the brisk of it, but they're in the parking lot, but they're not in the arena on it. So will they get in the building before the end of the season? That'll be my point of measurement.
Yeah, it's an interesting way of looking at it too, Sal. I think, you know, to his point about punting for it, you know, with about under eight to go in the game, instead of going for it on fourth down, we said we were okay with it. I could easily have started the show by saying, how could they have gone for it? Game on the line, you have three timeouts in that situation, you burn two in that drive. Why did you punt, or why did you go for it in that situation? You could have punted. You could have let your defense, which has kept you in the entire game, go out on the field and prove it to you. Get the ball back. You still use some momentum, and then you drive the ball down the field. I liked what Scotty Walden said about his reasoning behind it. He said he liked the momentum that the offense had up to that point.
No,
he said, Cade was dealing. They were able to convert on a third down earlier in that drive. They kind of already went all in on that drive by taking a timeout earlier in that one.
Yeah.
So again, I'll double down on it. I'll back it up. You know, it's easy to go back and just say they should have punted in that situation, but given what was going on at that point, I think the Miners, they gambled, they risked in that situation.
Yeah.
They were playing a little fearless, and they ended up on the wrong end of that.
You know what? Although the score is what it was, and we know that they lost, that's a part of the game that I absolutely appreciate, is they lived and died within the trust of that offense. Who was rolling at that point? And you said it best. If you burn two timeouts just to punt, this ain't 2-3 years ago, man, where you were burning those timeouts coming out of a damn huddle just to punt it. So, live and die by it. I'm all in on that one.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines right now. 915-505-6009. Milkman is next on the program. Milkman, go ahead. You just jump into this.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? There's a few things I want to talk about, but first off, I will say that this is the first loss of all four this year that I didn't leave the game just completely dejected, not thinking that they're going to win another game all year. I think the future's looking a little brighter after that second half.
I'd agree.
I will say I was almost speechless when they burned that minute and a half before halftime. I was like, what? Like, you're not even going to try? Like, what is going on? And, you know, we hear a lot about Coach Walden saying, you know, they're going to play fearless and brave and all this stuff. And I'm like, is that what that is? Because it certainly didn't seem that way. But the third thing I want to talk about is obviously the story of the game that everybody's talking about is the team is just better with McConnell at the helm. And I mean, you saw even the defense was playing better. Everybody, it's like there was just a spark in all facets of the game. I mean, it was clear. It's clear to anybody that has eyes to watch. I think Coach Walden, you know, remember he's moving up to FBS ball, right? And I think he also has kind of a learning curve, and he learned today that just because you have history with some of these players doesn't mean you need to experiment with them during the game. So I think he learned a valuable lesson today, and clearly the team is better with McConnell at the helm. So if he didn't learn that lesson, then I will take back all the good things I ever said about him. But
which is possible. You know what?
We'll
I'll say
out,
this.
Yeah.
We'll have to find out, Milkman. I appreciate the phone call, because now it's the bye week. Now you have to simmer on this for 12 days. Did Cade do enough, in your opinion, Sal, to win the starting job over the next 12 days as they go through a bye week this upcoming week and get ready for a Thursday game against Sam Houston?
I definitely think so.
I agree.
You got to see the experience show. And I do know that I said a couple weeks ago after the Southern Utah game, after a trifecta from Locklear, where I said, hey, I can't really say that there was anything he showed to kind of divert from it, gave him his props. But there's been a lot more football since then, and we got to see the experience pay off with Cade. So at least in two quarters. But I will say this, because I know people are chiming in saying, if you would have played him the whole game, I guarantee you if they win this game, the talk would be, if you would have played him the whole season. So, I mean, you guys wanted him in and you got him. I think the part of judgment will be fair when we see who the starting quarterback is next game, barring any injuries in practice. So, I mean, you got what you wanted. They still came up short.
Hey, I'll ask you on this question, because we didn't touch on this one right here, Alberto. This one came in from, this is coming in from Trey Pulitz. 0-12, football has hit rock bottom, horrible program. But to piggyback off Milkman's phone call, do you feel better about this team winning a game here after what you saw here tonight?
I mean, yeah, you score 14 points in the second half. Your defense keeps you in it. You only give up, and I say you only, but you give up only 67 yards rushing in the second half. You know, that's a huge improvement, because you gave up 157 in the first half. So, yeah, that improves. You know, your defense plays better. You score 14 points. So, yeah, if you can ride that into the conference play, then I definitely do feel better. It's just, you hope that these changes, they stay and they stick.
Yeah, let's see what happens. Let's keep it going on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. Joe from the West Side is joining us next. Joe, good evening. You just jump into this, Joe.
Thank you, guys. I'm a native Houstonian and graduated University of Houston. I've been here for 15 years. And, you know, UTEP's the only program in town. And I've heard nothing but excuses and very, very low standards for 15 years.
Very true.
And we hired another coach. You know, I was excited. It was a press conference. It's going to be fun to watch. And I don't mind if you're trying to fun to watch, but number one, it's a boring product. Number two, the athletic department altogether is just pathetic. They haven't won a bowl game since 1967.
That's correct.
They haven't been to NCAA tournament since I've lived here for 16 years. And you're the only game in town. And all my friends here in town, and I hear you guys, and I love the people here in this town. It's way friendlier than Houston. In Houston, they'd be having pitchforks after 0-8 up against the athletic director's office. But here, everybody's patient and nice. And I hate to say it, man, but nice guys finish last. Now, there's one person you can hire right now. You could have hired him as head coach for cheaper than what you got this junior college guy at. He knows all the good recruits in Texas. You can get the ones at UT and A&M and all the other schools pass over, and we'd win Conference USA every year. The guy's turned around every program he's been at in high school and college, University of Houston, Baylor, the two losing programs in high school, and he would have an exciting product. And, you know, God preaches forgiveness. So why don't we just hire Art Briles now as offensive coordinator, and eventually when this clown that we got now does this 3 or 4 years, we can hire him as head coach. He said he worked for a minimum salary. Deion Sanders hired him, but unfortunately some women's groups on campus protested. And Art Briles,
well, I'll just say this. To jump in here, Joe, because I feel like this was a good call until it went sideways. Art Briles hasn't been in coaching at all, man. It's all, you know, in terms of college football, it's what you do now. It's not what you did yesterday. And he hasn't done anything, in a decade? So to bank on somebody who hasn't done something in a decade, who's going to have success, regardless of what they did off the field, which was just horrible. And, you know, he was obviously somebody who had a lot of negligence as a head coach when he was at Baylor for all the wrongdoings that happened over there, but not even to get into any of that kind of stuff. He hasn't done anything recently. So as far as candidates out there, we thought he was talking about Brendan Marion, the UNLV coach, who's,
I was like, he wasn't,
you know,
at Baylor.
Yeah, who is 3-0 right now. Yeah, he did have a stop at Texas, but he wasn't at, you know, Baylor or anything like that. So, hey, I appreciate the phone call, Joe. Thanks for weighing in on the program. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Brian is next up on the phone lines. Brian, good evening, man. You just jump into this. We don't have much time, so just give us your take. Go ahead.
One thing I wanted to bring up was the O-line and how it looks compared to Lockwood and McConnell in this case. Because at the beginning of the first and second quarter, the O-line just looked as bad as it was these past few games. But once McConnell jumped in, it looks a lot different. The line is still bad, but the main issue I have is that with Lockwood, they look lost and sacks were happening a bunch. So with McConnell, it wasn't happening as much. So that leaves the door open for questions on that issue.
Yeah, that's a really good point there, Brian. And hey, I appreciate your phone call. You know, we didn't talk a lot about the offensive line, guys. The offensive front was really decimated going into today's matchup. You heard from head coach Scotty Walden after the game. Lucas Matamoros, he played last week, and I guess he was hurt going into this week, so they didn't have him. Azizi Henry, I didn't even know that he was dealing with something off the field, a condition that held him out of the first three games. Today is his first game playing, and it looked like it. You know, it looked like that for him. Otis Pitts is playing with a dinged up shoulder right now, so that's something to monitor moving forward. And offensive line, it's such a bad thing right now, Sal. That's probably the worst thing that you could pinpoint on this team right here.
I think that has to be the point of emphasis when it comes to recruiting this offseason, because skill players, they're recruiting heavily in the state of Texas. There's speed all over, which I think is going to be kind of like the key asset for any skill position player when it comes to a Scotty Walden offense. So you got to get guys who are going to be able to block, but not only that, guys who you could have on the field to start, but guys to come in when other guys get kind of dinged up. You got to be deep at that position, and unfortunately the depth just really isn't there.
Yeah, that's a good point in itself. The depth was preached over the offseason, but it really isn't there. That's just the bottom line. Back to the phones we go. It's Zay who's joining us next. UTEP Zay. It's homecoming tonight, so he wasn't with us in studio, but I'm glad that he's calling in. Zay, you are with us right now. Another UTEP loss, 27-17. Take it away. You just take it from here.
Well, you know, we talked about this kind of, you know, on the Patriot Pulse podcast, but, I mean, Cade McConnell was never given a fair shot, and he was given a fair shot today, and he balled out. He balled out in his opportunity, and, you know, it did make me smile a little bit because you could tell that a change needed to be had at the quarterback position. And you know, you're going to have the Skyler Riders on Twitter, and they're going to ride for him. fairly slow, right? He's a young guy. He's shown potential, but a change needed to be done. The offense was stagnant. There was no run game. The body language just looked off with the offense. And when Cade came in, obviously, you know, his first drive ended up with the two fumbles, this and the third. But you could tell, right? Everything just looked a lot cleaner. He just looked poised in the pocket. He looked poised in the game, and he looked like a winner. And, you know, obviously, he did fall short by 10 points, but it gives fans some hope in this Scotty Walden offense and in this offense in general.
You know what's interesting, Zay? I feel like the offense was the best it's looked all year long, and it's just the second half. Maybe Skyler could have done the same thing. It was, you know, it was pretty receiver screen heavy. But as far as the offensive line and all the concerns we had in the first half, those concerns kind of went away in the second half for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line, they looked a lot better. They just looked better. Pass protection was, you know, it was almost – it was really good. I want to say it was good pass protection. I even think the run game lane, some of them opened up in the second half a lot more, and that could just be a product of, you know, UTEP's, you know, passing game getting going and forcing Colorado State to be a little bit more conservative. But the offense just looked so much better, cleaner, smoother. Smoother is the word I'm looking for, and, you know, it was fun to watch in those couple of drives. And hey, Kenny Odom's a baller, right? Kenny Odom is a baller.
Yeah, we're not talking enough about Kenny Odom, that's for sure, Zay. Any final thoughts as UTEP heads to a bye week, and then they've got Sam Houston. It's Conference USA weeknight action that's on deck.
I mean, Kasaxon's coming, and we knew that, you know, coming into this one, you talked about a lot. This Sam Houston game was going to be kind of where the season really does start. It really does start here. This is where you want to see UTEP find their identity offensively, find their identity as a team, you know, on the field especially. So I'm definitely excited for that. Do I think they're going to win? Who knows? Do I think Cade's going to start? Who knows? So many more questions just from UTEP, you know, giving Colorado State a game in the second half than answers for me.
Yeah, good point there. I love it, Zay. Hey, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week. And for now, enjoy homecoming. That's Zay Galindo here joining us on the phone lines as we continue. 915-505-6009 as we continue. It's Robert who's joining us next. We've got less than 10 minutes to go here on Minor Talk here as we get ready for some El Paso Chihuahuas baseball. But I feel good. I feel like we burned through a ton of phone calls. I feel like we were able to get a lot of things done as far as takes and everything goes. We've got a hard out here in about exactly 10 minutes. Appreciate that, Sal. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. 915-505-6009. It is Robert who is joining us next. Robert, good evening. You just jump right into it. Go ahead.
All right. So for those, hey, hi, Adrian. How are y'all doing? I know y'all got no time. For those going for Walden's head, I think it's time to relax on that.
I agree.
It's
I agree
first
completely.
Year. He's, you know, UTEP was left in a state of disarray. He's here to rebuild. You know, year one, you know, for to build a program, it's about setting a culture, and I feel like he's done a good job at that so far. So I just think from here on out, it's just, you know, let's give him the time to help have this team improve game by game. I think people just need to be patient, you know, and just see where it goes. I mean, does he, you know, go back on his talk and, you know, lead this program to wins in the future? I don't know. But that doesn't mean we should go for his head right now. You know, just give him the time, give him the benefit of the doubt of just building this year and seeing where it takes him from there.
Okay, I got you down for it. I like it. Let's do it. I appreciate it, Robert. I appreciate your phone call, man, and I appreciate your thoughts. And it's a good reminder right here, guys. I mean, look at the thing. With Scotty Walden, he's four games in. I don't have the doom and gloom. I don't have the question marks on hiring or anything like that. It's way too early yet. You committed to somebody like this. He brought all the hype over the offseason. Year one was supposed to be down or a little bit of a rebuild. I just want to comment on what he said about the state of disarray. I don't necessarily think that Dana Dimmel had this team in disarray the same way that Kugler had the team in disarray when they were, what, 0-12 when he abruptly resigned or whatever in that final season 2017, left the program. They were 0-12. They had no recruits whatsoever. Dana Dimmel, at least they were competitive over the last, you know, 3-4 seasons. Prior to that, they were 1-11 teams as they were going through a rebuild 2018-2019. But still, I was just, you know, comment right there there from me as far as it not necessarily being a state of disarray. It was just a state of mediocrity for Dana Dimble that could not be sustained.
Yeah, and it was, he was kind of piggybacking off of he like jumped on a ship when the ship was already sinking. Granted, he wasn't able to get things back on track, and there were a lot of games that we saw the mistakes and kind of hammered in on each show, and it was not a successful hire at the end of the day. But the accountability factor was obviously there, and you know, some of these guys were able to go back, more than happy to go back. And with Coach Walding having to kind of re-recruit some of these guys, it worked. Some of them it didn't, but it's year one. As long as the progression is made from the first conference game up to the last, that's how you could kind of measure where you're going into year two. I'm gonna die on that hill, man.
I like it. Let's go back to the phones right now as we continue. 915-505-6009. Also, we had a Cade McDonald mentioned on the broadcast, and we had a Cade McDonald mention on Twitter and X. So people, you know, already forgetting our boy Cade McConnell's name.
The arcade.
Yeah, come on, man. It's hilarious. Chuko is next up on the phone lines. Chuko, good evening, man. Go ahead.
Thank you. You know, I was happy to see McConnell, not McDonald, come out and play. I think a lot of us fans knew that this guy had a little bit more experience and something that would help out the team. So happy that they did it. And, you know, I want our crowd, our fans to show up for the next game. But it's a Thursday night game, and that's I don't like those. My daughter's, you know, in high school. So anyway, but those of you who can go out, I think we should. I think we're turning a corner here, both offensively and then defensively, getting that spark, watching the offense succeed. So fans, please, let's go out and support.
Okay. Chuko, I got you down for it. And we'll do the talking on UTEP volleyball, by the way. You always call us about some UTEP volleyball. Sal, Alberto, big wins for UTEP volleyball today. They defeated Texas A&M Corpus Christi, I believe. And for UTEP volleyball, they continue to have a lot of success. Alberto, is their final game tomorrow? Am I right on this weekend? I'm getting this wrong completely. I got to just do a quick Google search on my side.
I'm not too sure, but I know that it was a tight one out there. 3-2, the final out. From Club Memorial, that's what I know they love to call it.
Yes, it is Texas State. It's a noon start, and it is camp day for UTEP volleyball. It's at Memorial Gym, so if you don't have plans tomorrow at noon, it's a great thing to, you know, be a part of. Some UTEP volleyball, as they're holding on to a good home win streak right now. They beat UTRGV 3-1 sets, and then like you said, 3-2 today here in their win. They're 9-2 overall. UTEP volleyball, big shout out to them. As we kind of wind things down here on the program, Sal.
And you know what, too? He was on the halftime interview with John Teicher a couple weeks ago. And incredible interview. And Coach Wallace inking that extension not too long ago. So here to continue his success in the Borderland. He's done amazing this year. And I don't have it in front of me, but it's been a very long time since they lost multiple games back-to-back. They did lose to Utah, bounced back in a 3-0 sweep when it came to Green Bay the following game. Then they lost to South Dakota last Sunday, went in a set of 1-3, but they bounced back in a 3-1 win over UTRGV. So continuing things right there. Shout out to them.
Winding down the show, we've got 5 minutes left. Let's not take any more phone calls here. We're going to just keep it ourselves here on the program, and then we're going to send it out to some El Paso Chihuahuas baseball. Let's do some rapid fire. I'll get it from both you and Sal and you, Alberto. Some rapid fire questions, crystal ball questions. This is just your prediction here moving forward. By the time that we are back on for Minor Talk, October 3rd, it's a bye week next week, October 3rd, will UTEP be in the Mountain West? We'll start with you, Alberto.
No.
Sal.
Somebody has to be right or wrong, yes.
Okay, I'm going to say yes.
Just for the sake of that.
I'm going to say UTEP's in the Mountain West by October 3rd. I'm going to agree with you, Sal. I think some things are brewing behind the scenes, and I'm just hoping for the best as far as Mountain West goes. By the way, Colorado State, they're a Pac-12 team, quote-unquote. They're going to be moving over to the Pac-12. They had 29,000 today. Remember, Miners had 41,600 for an FCS opponent in their first Saturday game. That's just something to keep in mind. All right, let's talk. talk about something else, and it is the starting quarterback job. Skylar Locklear, 66 of 104, 710 passing yards, 3 touchdowns to 4 interceptions on the season so far. Cade McConnell, 22 of 36, 1 interception. He has 2 touchdowns, and he has 240 passing yards so far. Who is the starting quarterback by the next game? Sal, you go first.
I'm going Cade McConnell.
All right, Alberto.
Cade McConnell.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Cade as well. So I think it's going to be Cade. I think he deserves this one as well. And that'll be a Sam Houston game that's coming up Thursday, October 3rd. By the way, Cade beat Sam Houston last year, and a lot of these Bearcats are back here for another season, so just another thing to keep in mind.
Don't forget, Buzz beat Bearcats last year, too.
Oh, good point. Good point there.
I have to throw it in there.
Hey, that's a good one there, Sal. I like it. All right, let's go around the table again. We've talked about this storyline a lot here on Minor Talk. If you listen to us, you'll totally get this one. When's UTEP getting their first win? Are you? I said last week. Florida International October 16th sounds like the best opportunity for them. That's a Wednesday game at home. It's a terrible travel game for FIU. I'm going to stick with that one right now. I don't think they beat Sam Houston. I don't think they beat Western Kentucky. Those are their next two games. Alberto, your thoughts? Next win. Or first win, I should say.
First win. Habitually delusional. I'm going to ride the high wave. We get the win October 3rd.
Okay. Sam Houston. All right, Sal, go ahead.
Oh, man, I can't be on that one. I think Sam Houston's a lot better than they were last year, and they're waxing New Mexico State right now, 21-3. So that's just something to note. But just kind of looking at it there, give me Kennesaw November 9th, man.
Wow. Okay.
I do think there's a lot of improvement there, but just kind of what I see so far. And I hope I'm wrong, so we'll see.
That's very fair. One other one. Buzz Flabiano, 3 of 6 field goal percentage. He's 50% right now. He's 2 for 3 from 40 to 49 yards, yet he's 1 of 2 from 20 to 29, 0 for 1, 30 to 39. What a bizarre year for Buzz Flabiano. Over under 2 field goals next game, guys. We'll start with you, Sal.
I'm going to go. Give me under.
Okay, I'll go under.
I think 1 for 1, but under.
Okay, under. Alberto?
Over.
Okay, over. 3 field goals. Let's see. Let's see it happen. It's October 3rd. That's the next time you'll hear from us for Minor Talk, and that'll wind us up here on the program. Hey, I appreciate everybody listening to the program. Also want to give a big shout-out to our presenting sponsor. It's Jack in the Box. They've got 15 locations all across El Paso. They're open 24/7 here in this city and also in Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. Hey, big shout-out to Jack in the Box. We'll be back in action next week out at the District West, 3233 North Mesa. I should say 12 days from now, as UTEP will take on Sam Houston at home. That's another home game, by the way, so should be very interesting. Also want to give a special thanks to our supporting sponsors here on Minor Talk, the Oscar ID at the Agency, the District Pub and Kitchen West. Also want to give a big shout out to Wind Supply El Paso on the program. For Alberto Retta, for Zay Galindo, who called in on the program, wasn't here today, but for my co-host Sal Montes, and for handling the whole broadcast, I'm Adrian Broaddus here. We're signing off, and thanks for listening to Minor Talk on 600 ESPN El Paso.